Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Four Seam Fastball. Today's podcast is an exciting one for you because we're going to have a lot of baseball talk and a lot of non-baseball talk. Well, today's day, the Four Seam Fastball starts off a long day of podcasting for me at 7:45. I plan to be doing this for a while. And then we have five more podcasts that I'm hoping to record today on Sam Sports Network. And before we get started, I'd like to have a word from our sponsors and our brother podcast over at Power Sports. Go take a listen to them. And, of course, welcome to Sam Sports Network. I'm Sam Fetterman. If you don't know me, welcome to my show. I am currently going into eighth grade, and I'm going to try and talk some baseball with you. You might realize that I know a lot about baseball. Baseball is probably my best sport. And so we're going to start off with the top story, in my opinion. You might call me biased. I am a Boston Red Sox fan. The Boston Red Sox slumping this weekend is the top story, in my opinion, because this is groundbreaking. This almost never happens. The last time the Boston Red Sox were swept, they haven't been swept all year. And now they get swept by Tampa. Tampa's a great team, but, I mean, they don't have the pitching. I mean, of course, they have Blake Snell. But Tampa Bay famously has such weak starting pitching that they have to experiment with a reliever starting the game called an opener. Now, if you don't know about the opener experiment, the Rays have one of the best ERAs in the majors since then, as the Rays tweeted out to a guy who said the opener experiment is an absolute failure. And I think that all the managers of the past, including Connie Mack, Casey Stengel, are probably thinking to themselves, how stupid are you? You start a pitcher, he goes 9 innings, he pitches the next day. Because that's what baseball was in the 1920s, 1930s. But the Boston Red Sox slumping this off, and the Yankees hitting on cue. 6 games, I'm starting to be a little nervous. But the Yankees still have to visit Oakland, Seattle. The Red Sox are done with them. Remember when the Red Sox visited Oakland, they got no hit by Manaea. Now, speaking of Manaea, he's going on the DL. We'll talk about the Athletics a little later in the show. And I definitely want to bring this up. So my next thing about Boston is the way Mookie Betts has been hitting the ball, the way JD's been hitting the ball. There's going to be nothing stopping this team from a World Series except a slump like this. Right now, JD Martinez is sitting at 38 home runs. He hasn't hit a homer in over a week. That's rare. Chris Davis is sitting at 39. But, of course, neither is Jose Ramirez. And groundbreaking information is that now Martinez, he doesn't have to do any more chasing in the batting average department. He needs to do the chasing in the home run department. Now, that's a surprising thing, as Martinez had a grasp on that lead that no one was coming for until Chris Davis had that mad charge with that signed jersey. Again, we will get to the Oakland Athletics later. I really love what Chris Davis did this week. Let's see what MLB thinks he's on pace for. 47, which is a good number in my opinion. I think that JD will end up coming back to win the MVP. And no, not the MVP, the Triple Crown. But Mookie is still, I believe, the more valuable player to the Red Sox. Because his bat gets the guys on base for JD. Quiet guy who's going to have 100 RBIs. This guy's going to have 100 RBIs. Xander Bogaerts for the Red Sox. What is he at, 85 right now, 86? I mean, it doesn't help that there's no more games against Tampa for him. But JD's at 110, Davis is at 103. Bogaerts is sitting at 10th in the league with 84. That's tied with guys like Bryce Harper and Anthony Rizzo. That's tied with guys, Bryce Harper and Anthony Rizzo. So, Bogaerts is a phenomenal shortstop. I think that he's one of the best shortstops in the league. He does not get enough credit for what he does. Among all shortstops in RBIs, Javi Baez, who just started playing shortstop, is the leader. And then there's Story, and then there's Bogaerts. And then there's Lowry. And that's it for a while. Lindor. And so Bogaerts is a special player. I remember when he first came up to the big leagues, he was very good for that 2013 Boston team. He was a piece of that team that they desperately needed a better third base shortstop. than Middlebrooks and Steven Drew. Now, of course, we needed a better third baseman over the past few years than Pablo Sandoval. And, of course, I've always liked to bring this up. Travis Shaw turned out to be the exact guy that we needed. Travis Shaw is now phenomenal. The mayor of Ding Dong City. He's one of my favorite players in the MLB. I love him. Let's see what his stats are, because I haven't really been looking at that. But it's incredible what he's been doing. He's a phenomenal player in Milwaukee. Why couldn't he do that in Boston? And so we would be keeping him. He's sitting at 26 home runs. The mayor DDC sitting at 26 home runs and 72 RBIs. He's only batting .246. But what did he do last year? Last year he batted .273. 31 homers, 101 RBIs. He's having a better year than he did in 2015 than in 2016 by a lot this year. But he's not having a great year compared to last year. He still most likely will end up with 30 home runs, but his batting average is really low. And I'm not a guy that's gonna stress batting average to you, so I'm gonna look at his OBP, on base percentage, which is .337. Pretty good for a guy who's batting .246. Now, when you look at OBP, you can't just look at OBP as a dry stat. You gotta look at OBP next to average. Because if your OBP is lower than your average, that means you're not walking enough. Or your eye is just terrible. Barry Bonds, one of the reasons he had such a great on-base percentage was not because of his batting average, but because of his incredible eye. Here, if you look at his on-base, if you look at on-base percentage, 2004 MLB, his OBP was a ridiculous 609. Okay. What was his batting average that year? Let's take a look. But, I mean, that's still ridiculous. That means he gets on base. His batting average, he was second in the league batting .362. That means he walked and got hit by the pitch just as many times that year, or if not more, than the amount of hits he got. So he got 129 hits. That's 129 runs. 135 hits, and he walked a lot, I know. 232 walks. That's just ridiculous. And 120 intentional. So yeah, they were gifting it to him. He only struck out 41 times. That's ridiculous. He struck out less than 50 times in what, 145 games? 147 games. That's less than a strike. That's like a strikeout every two or three games. That's ridiculous. That's some Lloyd McClendon Little League World Series stuff. Oh no. I mean, that's incredible. On-base percentage 1,000, batting average 1,000, something else, slugging percentage 4,000, OPS 5. OPS, I love that stat. Now, when you hear from me, you're going to hear a lot about the stat I created a couple years ago. It's called 5-tool average, and it's all about adding up three stats. I'm looking for a better defensive stat than fielding percentage. But you add fielding percentage, stolen base percentage, and your OPS, and it gives you your 5-tool player. Now, I was thinking, why would I keep the OBP, OPS up there? It's five times more than your fielding percentage and your stolen base percentage. It's because the tools of hitting the ball at the plate are much more. Now, I think I should be multiplying the fielding percentage up, because maybe by three or so, because that's when you'll start to see some difference. Fielding percentage, there's not much deviation, so it doesn't show much. Doesn't show much separation from the great fielders to the good ones, and from the good ones to the eh ones. Now, I don't currently have my book on me to do that, because I did not realize I'd be bringing this up to you. But we're about to hit the 10-minute mark soon, and I still want to talk about a lot of things in baseball. Let's do a quick flash about last night's games. Why don't we? Because we're talking baseball on the 4-Seam Fastball with Sam Fetterman. Quick flash of last night's games. On Sunday, August 26th, 2018, Rays beat the Red Sox 9-1. Phillies beat the Blue Jays 8-3. And Kendrys Morales had another homer in that one. The Braves took out the Marlins 4-0 with an outstanding catch by Ronald Acuna, who I will be talking about later. White Sox took out the Tigers 7-2 in a game that really just doesn't matter. But Michael Kopech got the start. Well, I don't know if he got the start, but he pitched. and he got the win. Kopech did get the start. He pitched 6 innings of 1-run ball. Nationals didn't score a run until the 6th, but won 15-0. Yikes. The Nationals are making the Mets there this season. Here's one of my favorite stats. By the trans, you know the property that made UCF the champions? Using the same property, the Nationals could beat the Phillies by 41 runs. That's incredible, though. Athletics beat the Twins 6-2. I will talk about them. Brewers beat the Pirates 7-4. I want to talk in more depth about the Brewers, Aguilar, and all their guys. And Pirates, they really just flopped this month. Urinating Tree said it. I look forward to the August collapse. Indians beat the Royals 12-5. What did you expect? Cubs beat the Reds 9-0. What did you expect? Cardinals, led by Matt Carpenter's 4 doubles. That ties a record for a 9-inning game. 1-12-3, 6 in the first. Rangers lost to the Giants 3-1. Astros beat the Angels 3-1. Otani came in, and he struck out. So, yeah, he pinch hit for Marte, and he struck out in the 9th, I believe. Yeah. And the Dodgers beat the Padres 7-3. The Diamondbacks beat the Mariners. God, whatever happened to the Mariners? How far do they sit back right now? They sit 6.5 back. I mean, they're 5 back of Oakland. They're screwed. They're not going to get this wild card. Oakland sits 4.5 of the Yankees. Seattle sits 9.5 back of the Yankees. Now, the ideal for me is Seattle beats out the Yankees. Sorry, Oakland beats out the Yankees. Seattle beats out the Yankees. Because I'm a Red Sox fan. I don't like the Yankees. I don't want to see them in the playoffs. But then again, I don't want to see Seattle or Oakland. Now, the Red Sox sit 9 games ahead of Houston, so I'm not really afraid of them. Yankees beat the Orioles 5-3 with Severino pitching, getting a 17th win to lead the league. I'm not really afraid of the Astros taking us over. But DeGrom sitting at 171, Sale 197, Blake Snell 205, Aaron Nola 213, tied with Max Scherzer. There's your top 5 in ERA. Edwin Diaz got his 50th save over the weekend. And we're going to get back to talking baseball on the 4-seam fastball. Now, I want to bring up a historical baseball thing right now. And let's just spin the wheel that I'm going to create in my head right now. Or just I'm going to literally just go to random MLB team generator and talk about one of their teams of the past. So let's see what we got. I do the thing 4 times or 5 times at 30, and I pick the 21st team. There's 1. There's 2. There's 3. And I'm talking about the Padres. Literally the furthest team from me. I live in New York. The Padres are literally the furthest MLB team from me. Now, we're going to talk, of course, about those 1998 San Diego Padres. Their best team ever, in my opinion. That team that beat the juggernaut of the Braves. Now, if we look at them, their manager, Bruce Bochy, managed them. I don't think I knew that. But, of course, your star was your 38-year-old Tony Gwynn. And of course you had your Greg Vaughn, who's gonna hit 50 home runs for you. And you're gonna have only one guy batting over 300, Wally Joyner batting 298 at 36 years old. This is an old team. Like a really old team. Even your pitching is kind of old. Trevor Hoffman turned 30 that year, and he got 53 saves. So yeah, Edwin Diaz is gonna beat that, I believe. Brown 18-7. Now here's one of my favorite things about Tony Gwynn. He's in a category of rare guys basically since 1970 or 1960, or basically since the dead ball era. The guys that basically play like they would in the dead ball era. Bat for a very high average, get like whatever. He had 3,000 hits. Yeah, have bat for a high average, 3,000 hits, and he's not really gonna give you the power. He never hit more than 17 home runs. He did that in 97, but he would always bat a steady average. In 1994, he batted 394. Tony Gwynn, this it's in a mold with Rod Carew. I believe Rod Carew's in this mold. You've got Wade Boggs. Yeah, Carew's in the mold. Boggs, Ichiro. Like the guys that play like they're from the dead ball era. They get a lot of hits. They bat a high average. They're not really going to hit home runs. And Rogers Hornsby, of course, from the dead ball era, plays like he's from the 90s, 42 home runs. Rogers, that's got to be one of the most incredible seasons, batting 400 with 40 home runs. Ted Williams, you know, he never hit 40 home runs. Now back to the thing about the Padres. Trevor Hoffman was 30. He was 30. He played until 2010, I believe. So he played another 11 years. So he played a long time. Trevor Hoffman is an he played until he was 42. He was an all-star when he was 41 with 37. He's an absolutely incredible player. And remember, he was in the expansion draft in 93. Florida took him. But then they sent him off to San Diego for... Let's see. Rich Rodriguez and Gary Sheffield. So it's a good... So, I mean, what did Sheff end up doing for them? What were his stats? He was an all-star in that year of 96 with 42 homers. So yeah, he won the World Series with them. Pretty good. But, I mean, Sheff, those could have been his prime years. But, I mean, of course, his years with the Dodgers, Braves, and Yankees were very strong. The 40 home runs, 30-plus home runs, 100-plus RBIs. And that team made the World Series. And that's basically the last good thing the Padres have done. I mean, Adrian Gonzalez was very good. But the Padres themselves have struggled to do much since 98. I believe they sit in last place. Yeah, they sit in last place right now. I really want to see them climb out of the cellar. I want to see their prospects come to fruition. Yeah, they sit 23 and a half games back of Arizona. Did you know that if the season ended today, the Dodgers would actually sit 2.5 games out of the postseason? Well, you probably did know that. And here's why I'm so surprised. The Dodgers are supposed to be the best team in baseball. Go to Sam Sports Network. Go to Sam Sports Network es.wixsite.com/website and go see what I mean. Sorry, clicked the wrong link. See what I mean? I think I picked the Astros or Dodgers to win it all. I mean, of course, I have the worst predictions ever if you know me at all. I mean, I'm one of those guys that knows almost everything there is to know, but can't make a prediction for his life. I mean, my central predictions aren't bad. I picked the Dodgers to basically have 100 wins. Yeah, Houston I had winning in 6. I had Trout winning AL MVP. Bryant winning NL, yeah, so that's not going to happen. Acuna is probably going to win NL Rookie of the Year, and I'm not sure about Ohtani winning AL. Kershaw is not going to win NL Cy Young. And hey, I have the Home Run Derby right. Manny Machado is not necessarily a fantasy bust. He's playing very well. Yeah, I don't think they're going to give Manager of the Year to AJ Hinch. Gabe Kapler might win it, though, in the National League. I think Cora is definitely going to win it. Trout for AL MVP. That's possible. Sale for Cy Young. Of course, I had the Yankees over the Red Sox and the Orioles over the Rays. Because, I mean, I saw a little bit of talent. I saw Alex Cobb and I saw Gausman in that rotation. I saw a little bit. I saw Zach Britton coming out of the bullpen. And, of course, this was a few days after Rusty Staub died. And I basically threw in rest in peace Rusty Staub, rest in peace Roy Halladay. In this article. And, of course, made good predictions in the AL Central. Indians winning it. Royals 4. I mean, Royals supposed to be 5. But I had now here's my thing. I picked the Angels to come in 2nd, the Rangers to come in 3rd, the Mariners to come in 4th, and the A's to come in 5th. That's just dead wrong. I also had the Yankees in 1st place, which I mentioned. I had the Nationals over the Phillies, Mets, Braves, Marlins in that order. Cubs, Cardinals, Brewers, Pirates, Reds, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Rockies, Giants, Padres. I had Arizona over I basically had carbon copy of last year's National League playoffs. And almost carbon copy of last year's American League playoffs, except Cleveland would beat New York, and the Yankees would be the division winners, and Boston would win the wild card and lose to Houston. So yeah, Houston would win the ALCS. It's practically carbon copy. But now let's get back to the MLB. I want to talk Athletics. I want to talk Mariners. I want to talk AL West. We're going to talk AL West right now. Oakland Athletics, they're sitting pretty right now in second place in that division. I mean, I'm not sure where the heck this came from, because when I'm at camp, I don't see this. But they sit a half a game back of the Houston Astros. So, I mean, the Red Sox and Yankees might be the best two teams in the league. But right after them, I mean, record-wise, but right after them, the Astros and Oakland are right on their tail. I feel like it's a shame right now that the Mariners are sitting in this position, because they're 74-57, a record that would lead the division in the NL West and in the NL East. Might not get you in the playoffs in the National League, though, if you're a wild card. Yeah, it'll get you the first wild card spot in the NL. It leaves you 5 games out in the American League. That's like when you feel for those 08 Warriors who won 48 games and couldn't make the playoffs. That's a shame, though. Those teams should be in the playoffs by default. But, I mean, of course, you don't do it like... Of course, it's not done like that. I mean, what was that year where... Well, I mean, that year the Sox won 99 games, didn't make the playoffs. 78, that was, of course. Because the Yankees beat him in the playoff. That was disgusting. And what's it called? Oakland won 102 games, got the wild card in 2001. And who missed out that year? Probably no one that good. Yeah, no one really good at all. I mean, Red Sox won 82. Yeah, no one won more than 85 after the division winners in Maryland and Oakland, sorry. And that was the last time Seattle made the playoffs, and they got an early exit. So Houston. So there's some Houston St. Louis action. Yeah, so they tied, and I think they made. Yeah, Chicago won 88 games. I wasn't alive then, but. Must have been fun for Diamondbacks fans. Speaking of Diamondbacks fans, no, not necessarily Diamondbacks fans, bandwagon fans and Chicago Cubs fans, I'd like to wish a happy birthday to my good friend and camp friend, Jaden Zarensky. He lives in Arizona, so it's 6 a.m. where he is. So it's 6:09 a.m., I believe, like where he is. I'm not sure when they changed the time or whatever. Arizona. He doesn't live in Phoenix, but he lives in Arizona. They're actually -3 hours, so it's 5 a.m. right now. Because when I went there, they were 2 hours behind. And I also have another camp friend living there playing with the Barcelona residency. That's actually really cool. And so I'm just going to send him something saying happy birthday, because it's his birthday. And he's a Diamondbacks and Cubs fan. And let's talk a little bit about the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks took out the Mariners yesterday. And an impressive season this year so far for them, as they currently lead the division by 1 game over the Colorado Rockies, who sit at 71-59. Now, what we all thought to be one of the best divisions in baseball, probably to be the best division in baseball, with three teams that made the postseason last year, it became, suddenly, the division with the worst leader in baseball at 72 wins. Well, do we know how that happened? Well, let's look at what happened. Let's look at departures in the offseason in that division. Arizona lost JD. I'm not sure exactly how much Colorado lost. But the Dodgers are really suffering from that injury bug. The Red Sox got the injury bug. The Dodgers got the injury bug. Kershaw, Seager, both gone. But the Dodgers replaced those guys with Dozier and Machado, they should be able to be competing for the best record in the league. Maybe not the best record. The Red Sox are having a historically good season. I mean, maybe not anymore. Sitting at 132 games with 90 wins. Still pretty darn good. Wait, I did something wrong there. Yeah, they're still on pace for 110 wins. I mean, they're on pace to go, like, what, 20-10 rest of the season? That's not bad. That's 666 winning percentage, 20-10. Their percentage is 682. Yeah, that's a winning percentage of 681. That gets you. That's pretty good. I mean, more than pretty good. One of the biggest Illuminatis in baseball history is the 1927 Yankees. I think they were 110-44 or something like that. You know what that's a winning percentage of? 714. And that's an Illuminati because Babe Ruth hit 714 career home runs. And that team was his 27 Yankees. So, yeah, exactly. Illuminati confirmed. I want to talk a little bit about Seattle. Because, I mean, I really haven't been talking much about these teams. Oakland, I really like. I really like Oakland. Sean Manaea is really turning into a great pitcher. That no-hitter put him on the national radar. I mean, of course, a lot of us diehard baseball fans have known who he is for a while. But when these guys pitch against your teams, you really hear a lot of the interesting stuff. And it's always fun to watch a no-hitter. Even though the no-hitter is being pitched against your team, it's fun to watch a no-hitter. You got to admit that you'd watch a no-hitter. Now, with Manaea going on the DL, he's got a 3.59 with 27 starts. He's started 27 games. The next highest guy in that rotation started 16. There's two of them. There might be a bit of a cause for concern there. As, I mean, they have worked Manaea a lot. 27 starts. But they got a great team. And I really want to see how this team pans out in the future. Matt Chapman is slugging the ball in this second half of the season. Matt Olson, I really want to see him pick his average up because he's just going to turn out to be Chris Davis with less pop. I mean, he's got pop, but I don't think he has Chris Davis pop. Remember, Chris Davis is 30, so he's still got some time in the league. Guys like Davis, who are hitting 260, 250, 240, but hitting 40 bombs, are going to be in the league a while because that's what baseball is now. And I've got a stat I want to share with you about Yoan Moncada and his strikeouts. And it has something to do with baseball these days. But Chris Davis, despite his OBP being just 330, his OPS is still 892, good for highest on their team. And he has the highest slugging percentage on the team. Despite being like, his OBP is actually good. But I mean, that team isn't bad or really high average. They're really modern baseball. I'm not sure what Billy Beane thinks about that. Because remember, a money ball is all about getting on base. They're buying runs. This year, I mean, they're still buying runs, but they're buying them at a little bit of more of an expensive clip. Let's see, in 0-2, that team, they all got on base. Hatteberg, 374. Tejada had 308 average. Chavez, 275 average. I mean, David Justice had 376 OBP. I mean, Terrence Long, eh. They had two guys with 30 bombs. And, of course, Jeremy Giambi, who only played 42 games, I believe, yeah. He still had a OBP of 390. They really liked OBP on that team. Carlos Pena played 40 games. For some reason, I thought he played more than that. And he batted 218. That's definitely the reason why. And his OBP was pretty good for that average at 305. But I see why Bean wanted him out. And they sent him, I believe, yeah, they sent him to Detroit for... in a three-team trade. And Oakland got Ted Lilly, Jason Arnold, John Ford Griffin, and Cash. So they dragged the Yankees into it. And something about this A's team, it's a great team. Chris Davis can mash the ball. He can mash it. I love what he did with that Make-A-Wish, whatever, I think it's Make-A-Wish, where he had the kid sign his jersey and he hit a home run that day. Chris Davis, that guy's incredible. On the other side of the Chris Davis spectrum, there's Chris Davis with a C, who might have the worst statistical season ever. And that goes hand in hand with one of the worst seasons ever for a team. Davis is batting 167 with 16 home runs. Yeah, that's it. I mean, his career batting average is 239 with a 321 OBP. And this year, he's batting 167 with a 246 OBP and slugging, and his OPS is just 557. He's grounded into 5 double plays, been hit by 6 pitches, and what team intentionally walked him? Twice he was intentionally walked this year. What team would intentionally walk Chris Davis? I mean, he's got a pretty good reputation. I mean, remember, in 2015, he hit 47 homers at 262 clip. 2013 is only All-Star season. Phenomenal year. Batted 286, 53 homers, 138 RBIs. What did Aaron Judge do? Isn't that what Aaron Judge did? Something like that last year? Something like that. He was 52 homers, 114 RBIs, 284. Very similar. I mean, Judge is not going to be like Davis because he bats a higher average. But now I want to talk about the Mariners. And what I like about that team is practically gone. Seattle is dead in the water at this point. They're a great team. 74 wins at 78 last year, but that team is dead. I'm sorry, but that team's just dead. D. Gordon's batting 271. They need him to bat higher than that. And he's only drawn 8 walks all year. He's drawn 8 walks in 118 games. That's just bad. And here's my thing with D. Gordon. When he bats a high average, steals a lot of bases. The home run ball and the RBIs, they don't need to come. He's gonna be your leadoff man. He's gonna be a great leadoff man, and he has got a good glove at second base too. But with Robinson Cano at second base, of course he's only played 50 games, and he's batting 282, not bad. But guys like Ben Gamel, I want to see Gamel play more, because he batted over 300 last year. And if I have one word for, I think it's Scott Servais. A few words for Scott Servais. You want to let Gamel play. I mean, you don't want to take anyone out of the lineup. I mean, Span's very good. But if he can't, you can take Guillermo Heredia out of the lineup. He's not really doing that much with the bat. And I mean, of course, Gamel's not going to bring you ridiculous power. But he's going to bring you a consistent 290 hitter. 280. I remember, here's my thing with Gamel. His flow is good, but it's not great. Benintendi's got a great flow. Holt's got a great flow. Gamel's flow is good, not great. Haniger, he's batting 281. I think it's a step up from what he's done in the past. And let's talk about the pitching for this team. James Paxton. Remember after the no-hitter, everyone was saying, look, the Mariners have found themselves as a true ace in Paxton. First of all, he's on the DL now. Second of all, his ERA is still 3.68, which is not good. I mean, which is not great. It's good. It's not great. They still have Felix Hernandez, but if you look at the stats, it's not the same Felix Hernandez. I mean, I remember what I loved about Felix Hernandez was the consistency of great outings, and he would just he led the league in innings a few times, I believe. Once he led the league in innings. That was his year when he didn't make the All-Star game, and he won the ERA title that year. Remember, we're just 4 years removed from an ERA title from Felix Hernandez. In 2014, he had an ERA of 2.14. So Hernandez still has it in him at 32. There's a lot of great pitchers, I believe, that are 32 years old. Hernandez, I believe, still has it in him to do so. I'm not sure if he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He won a Cy Young. Yeah, he won a Cy Young a few times, once or twice. Yeah, he's got a Cy Young in 2010. And he wasn't an All-Star. Are you kidding? The one time he wasn't an All-Star in the 2009 to 2015 stretch was the time he won Cy Young. That's just ridiculous. He went 13-12 and won Cy Young. That's Jacob DeGrom-like. I want to talk to Grom later, but since it's early in the morning, I'm not sure if I can get any guests on the air. Now Seattle. What I want to say about Seattle, they're dead. Try again next year. You've got who I think is the best closer in baseball, in Edwin Diaz. Here's my rankings: Diaz, Kimbrel, Chapman, Jansen. Don't say anything. Well, I mean, if you think I'm crazy, of course, say something. But Chapman is third. Yankee fans, go. I already hear you typing paragraphs about, oh my God, Chapman is so much better than Kimbrel. I honestly don't see it. They both have gas. Chapman's got better gas. But I just don't know what it is. I mean, it might be the fact that I'm a Red Sox fan. And I see Kimbrel a lot more. I mean, of course, not in the last week. But he just seems like he's more effective. And remember, I don't remember the last time a rookie homered off of Kimbrel. Devers homered off of Chapman. Rajay Davis homered off Chapman in Game 7 of the World Series. Chapman is not exactly clutch. I mean, of course, he was clutch that for a lot of that year, but he does give up a lot. He's a great pitcher. I definitely think that he could be. I mean, what is he at right now? He's only given up one homer this year, so yeah, he's better than I give him credit for. Clearly, 11 earned runs, but he's only pitched 50 times. Actually, no, that's a lot. And he's sitting on the DL right now. And he's sitting with 31 saves. Last year, he only had 22 saves in 52 appearances. Is that a virtue of the Yankees? No, it's not a virtue of the Yankees. How many saves did he blow at? I'm not sure. But he's a great pitcher. But he lives by the gas. And he really hasn't. He's had a couple great seasons. But I want to see more out of him. And he might not return until the middle. He's not going to return until the middle of September. And Kimbrel, I've seen more. They started at the same time. And Kimbrel's led the league in saves 4 times. Is that a virtue of the fact that Atlanta was better than Cincinnati? Maybe. But also, Chapman hasn't had a 40 save season. Kimbrel's had 4. And he had a 39 save season, and he's at 37 this year. I think they're both great players. I just think Kimbrel, and I mean, that is that a virtue of the teams? Yeah, probably. But they've pitched practically the same amount of games this year. Only 2 more for Kimbrel. And he's got 6 more saves. I mean, that's probably a virtue of the Red Sox. But he's given up 7 homers to Chapman's 1. Chapman doesn't give up homers often, but when he does, they're big blows to their team. When he gives up a homer, it's a blow. It's a massive blow. Because they're just not counting on him to. But here's another thing with Chapman. The Yankees have the best bullpen in the league. I will say that. Chapman, Britton, Robertson, Betances, all that. And imagine if they still had Miller. They wouldn't need starters. They literally probably wouldn't need starters. But Chapman, what I don't like about Chapman is, first of all, there's not a lot of lefty closers. He's a rare one of those. I like that, though. He probably doesn't feel as much pressure because he's got so many other guys in the bullpen that could back him up. And Chapman's a great pitcher. I know that. I've said that way too many times. And he got those 9-out saves in the playoffs. But since coming up from the minor leagues, Kimbrel's shown more than I believe Chapman has. Kimbrel's a 7-time All-Star. Chapman's a 5-time All-Star. That's still ridiculous, though, for guys that are just 30 years old or whatever. And Kenley Jansen, Dodger fans are going to be saying, maybe not this year, but Jansen, he's had stretches where he's untouchable. He's had stretches in his career where he's just absolutely untouchable. I mean, this year, not so much. But last year, sitting with a 1-3-2. I mean, he also came off in 2010. He's also 30. Wow, that's incredible. Last year, he was 5-0. This year, he's 0-5. That's actually, they canceled out, huh? In 65 appearances, left, he had a 1-3-2. I mean, what was Eric Gagne's Cy Young year? What was his ERA? Yeah, that was one career that derailed fast. 03, right? Yeah, 03. 55 saves, 67 years. A 1-2. But the best season ever by a closer is the Raleigh Fingers MVP season. I'm still trying to comprehend how the hell a closer won the Cy Young in 1981. He had a 1.04 ERA in 47 games, and he had 28 saves. I mean, still a great season. 28 still led the league, and it was 81, so. Yeah, it was 81, so you had the strike. But why would they give MVP to a closer? Was there really no. Oh, yeah, because the league leader in homers was like 22. I mean, Henderson, who had 56 stolen bases. Well, I mean, Dwight Evans, who batted 296. There's Carney Lansford, who batted 336. I mean, yeah, I see. But, yeah, Evans had a 415 on base percentage. I see where you're going, giving it fingers. But that's just crazy that they give Cy Young, and MVP to a closer. I find that incredible. And, of course, Gossage finished 5th in Cy Young voting that year. My next topic I'm going to bring up, as we got about 15 minutes left, is I want to talk a little bit about the Nationals and their division, the NL East. Oh, my God. I predicted the Nationals would win that division. This is their last run with Bryce Harper. And that's just fact right now. Harper is not going back to that team. I hope he does, because I want to see guys stay with their team. I mean, Mike Trout, he's got long-term extension with the Angels. I want to see Harper stay, but he's not. Mark my words right here. This is Bryce Harper's last go-around with the Nationals, and it's because Trout's signed through 2020. Trout's gonna be an Angel for life. Harper's gonna play for three different teams in his career. He's gonna play the next 7-8 years with one team, and then after that, he's gonna play two or three with another. He'll have a good career. I want to see him stay in Washington, but he will not. I don't know where he's going to go, but the Nationals are screwed right now. Now, what I love about that team, Juan Soto. Great player. I love Juan Soto because he's Juan Soto. What's not to love about Juan Soto? But remember how good that pitching staff was a few years ago? Remember how we were just drooling in that pitching staff? Scherzer and Strasburg and Gonzalez, and they had Pfister for a minute or something. And they had Jordan Zimmermann. We were drooling over how good that staff was. What was it, 2015? They went 83-79 in 2015. Yeah, that's not good. Scherzer, Zimmermann, Gonzalez, Strasburg, Pfister, and Joe Ross. God, whatever happened to Joe Ross? Is he still in the league? No, yeah, but he's on the DL. He hasn't pitched all year. Tommy John, yeah. Scherzer that year had a 2.7. I mean, Zimmermann and Strasburg and Gonzalez. What was Gonzalez's two-time All-Star? Yeah, he had a 2.89 when he led the league in wins in 2012. That's coming off an All-Star year in 2011 in Oakland. This is incredible, though. We were drooling over that rotation. They finished second. They didn't make the playoffs. And then this year, look at their rotation as they sit one game below 500. Three of those guys are still there. But two of them are no longer even close to what they were in Gonzalez and Strasburg. Tanner Roark is now listed on Baseball Reference as their second starter. I still think I'd go Strasburg in a game two after Scherzer because of what he's brought in the past. But this just shows what can happen to a team in just a few years. It's a shame. They have no pitching right now besides Scherzer. And Harper still batting. He's actually up at 250 right now, which is pretty good. He's at 30 homers, which is practically double anyone else on that team, as Anthony Rendon is 16. But I'm really not happy with this entire organization. It's a shame. I'm pissed with that organization. Harper, they wasted Harper. They're not the Colts. They did not waste Harper as bad as luck. But they've wasted Harper. He's going to go to a real team. All right. Atlanta, Acuna, and Albies, and Freeman. That in the lineup should be scary in the first place. Freddie Freeman, he's an MVP candidate for sure. I mean, of course, Freeman's played 130 games. He's 313, it leads the league in average. And yeah, he's only got 20 home runs, 78 RBIs, but he leads the league in average. And he's got a 397 on base percentage. Ronald Acuna, let's look at Acuna. He is a monster. He leads all rookies in home runs, 20, I think that's all. And he's the leadoff man for that team, 45 ribbies. So yeah, that's not gonna be that high. I mean, Mookie Betts, he doesn't have that high of a ribby count for what he's been doing. And how many times has he been hit by the pitch? Five times. Twice by the Marlins in the past week. Batting 290. And Albies, this order should strike fear into any pitcher. It's just ridiculous. Albies is batting 272. He's slumped a little. Sitting at 21 homers, 62 RBIs. Yeah, so he's slumped a little. But this is still a great order. And let's get to the pitching for that team. The key to any team is strong pitching. And that team might have some of the best. They don't have names that you're going to recognize. They don't have a superstar. But they have multiple great pitchers. Mike Foltynewicz and Sean Newcomb are going to be very good. Julio Teheran is very good. I mean, he's not having a great season, but he's a good pitcher. I mean, at least last time I checked, he wasn't having a great season. He's improved it a little. And they just picked up Kevin Gausman. At least I think they just picked up Kevin Gausman. Okay, no, yeah, they did just pick up Kevin Gausman, who's since coming over has five starts, 1.69. It's really good. And they have a pretty decent bullpen. It's nothing special, especially with Vizcaino on the DL. But you got Biddle and Winkler, who are going to be good. Hopefully Minter picks it up a little. Brad Bratch. But this is a team that's very... look at all the... There's been a few position players that pitched for them, or just one. Culberson pitched for them. I think that might be it. But that's a hell of a team, the Braves. Fulton Avish and Newcomb are just gonna... They need to pitch very well come playoff time. Fulton Avish is sitting at 267 with a complete game shutout that I actually was there for. Newcomb's got the 25 starts, 357. Sanchez, 305. So yeah, that's a team that... It's a team to be reckoned with in the National League East. And then you got the Phillies, who could be... And the Braves and Phillies both a year or two ahead in their rebuild process. And the Marlins and Mets just suck. The Phillies sit at a great position right now with... I mean, they didn't get Machado, but they picked up some talent with Justin Bour and Wilson Ramos. And Aaron Nola is still pitching the lights out. Aaron Nola's extremely underrated in just from a regular baseball fan. Philadelphia, they're coming out from their sleep. And here's what I think is impressive. They had the first pick just a few years ago. I believe they took Mickey Moniak with that pick. And I'm not sure, but has he been doing anything? Is he even, there? Oh, no, they're in second. He was supposed to be like a cornerstone. He's not even played a game. Remember Aaron Altair? He's batting 171. They're doing this with a lot of guys that you didn't expect them to do it with. Jorge Alfaro is catching alongside, of course, Andrew Knapp and Wilson Ramos now that he's back from the injury. Carlos Santana, he's having a down year, but he's... And Hoskins, these are guys. And then you had Scott Kingery, tonight batting 229. You got a couple guys that aren't playing very well. Then you got your guys like Nick Williams, and who is surprising you. And Franco is having a bounce back season. Hoskins, of course, playing very well. And then you got their pitching. They got Arrieta to bolster that staff. I'm not sure if they got him to be the ace, because Nola's the ace. But they got him, and he's been pitching pretty well. Pivetta, Velasquez, and Eflin. I'm not sure about Pivetta for this postseason. If you need four, I'm definitely going. If you need four for the playoffs, I'm leaving Pivetta out. And I'm going to put... what's his face in? I'm going to put Velasquez and Eflin. Because... Pivetta is at a... what's that? He's given up 20 homers. And... Even though he struck out the second most guys on the team, he's given up the most homers for a starter on the team. And then, of course, what's the most important thing to have late in a game? Clutch hitting? Clutch pitching. Sir Anthony Dominguez. I mean, yeah, he's had a couple stunts, not so good performances. But he's been pitching very well. Tommy Hunter, also pitching pretty well. I love this. I love that team because I love what they're going to be able to do. Especially if their core can stay healthy in the future. To the other side of the spectrum in that division, Miami. And their hatred for Ronaldo Cunha. Which I'm going to talk about right now, briefly, before I get into... something else. It's a sign of respect to intentionally walk somebody. It's a sign of dislike to plunk somebody in place of an intentional walk. They're afraid of him, so they're plunking him. Not only could that spark a benches clearing brawl, just like any plunk between rivals could. But it could spark something crazy. And I don't know what the hell the Marlins want to get out of this. But they're not going to win this battle against Acuña, because eventually they're going to have to pitch to him. Just like Lloyd McClendon in the Little League World Series. That's two McClendon references. That's too many. You're going to have to pitch to him. If he hits a home run, he hits a home run. You're not in contention, Miami. There's nothing you can do about it. And there's no reason to keep doing it. Don't hit him. Walk him. If you want to put him on base and you don't want him and you don't want to face him, walk him. All right. So let's now talk a little bit about something else. What do I want to talk about right now? I think I want to talk about a little bit of pitching for the last couple of minutes. Bartolo Colon. No one wants him to retire. He's the GOAT. Bartolo Colon is the hero of the world. And he pitched... he pitches... And the fact that he's still in the league is ridiculous. Yeah, he's on a 10-day DL, but he'll be back. He's pitched in 23 games this year, and he's got a 5.45 ERA. That's not good. But he's got a complete game at 45 years old. Everyone loves Bartolo Colon, and if you don't, there's something majorly wrong with you. There's guys in the league right now that weren't born when Colon made his debut. That's how old he is. That's how long he's been pitching. Everyone should love Bartolo. It should be the law to love Bartolo Colon. Everything's bigger in Texas. Is Big Sexy bigger in Texas? Of course he is. And the home run he hit with the Mets is still legendary. And I want to bring a segment today called Surprising Stats. Surprising Stats. Now this is one of my favorite segments on basically any show. And this stat is going to be about Ricky Henderson. Almost anything about Ricky Henderson is surprising, because he's, if you weren't there to see it, such an amazing player. We only have a few minutes left, but Henderson played for so long that he actually had 320 home run seasons and 297 career home runs. That's just ridiculous for a guy that you associate with a guy that's not going to hit for power. He doesn't want to hit for power. He wants to put the ball on the ground so he can get a base hit and steal a base, because he's not really going to hit for power extremely well. Except he hits, no, actually, sorry, 420 home run seasons. He's got a couple, and he's got a few rings, too. And Henderson, 297 career home runs, 16 for an 162-game average. But since he played, I'm not sure exactly how many 162 game seasons, like 162 game multiples he had. But he played in over 3,000 games in 25 years. And with Oakland, the Yankees, and just a lot of teams. And I think with Henderson, how he somehow ends up with 297 in the home run department is incredible. Everyone loves Ricky. There's some real stories about him. But surprising stats, that'll do it for surprising stats. And we're going to have to wrap up today's podcast. I'm Sam Fetterman from Sam Sports Network. This is the Four Seam Fastball. And so I'm just going to be telling you, tonight, Boston Red Sox have an off day, but they're going to and much needed off day as they then face Miami. And this has been the four seam fastball. White Sox Yankees tonight, 7:05. I'm reading off some games. Syndergaard Lester goes tonight. Garrett Cole goes tonight against Anderson. Strasburg and Eflin, a couple guys we talked about. Rodon and Tanaka in that matchup. And this has been the four seam fastball. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode, the premiere episode. And I just want to thank you for listening. I'm Sam Fetterman from Sam Sports Network. This is the four seam fastball. And see ya.